thank you once again for joining us tonight. Tonight we are concluding this series that we've been working through this summer in a passage of Scripture called the Beatitudes. And so I invite you to open in the Bible to Matthew chapter 5. If you do not have a Bible, there's some available on the chairs there. But I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. As we pick up into this last part of the Beatitudes. But first, just a couple of words of for those of you here, for those of you watching online, about Hope Valley, a reminder of who we are as and our heart for this community, our heart for this area, to know the living hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that phrase, living hope, comes from many places in Scripture, but specifically in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And a little plug here for starting September 12th, when on our launch day as a church, we'll be starting to walk through that letter of 1 Peter. And so we're looking forward to that time together. But right now, as we're in Matthew chapter 5, look with me at verse 10. It says this: "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You are blessed when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven. For that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you." All right, so there's already some unique things about this last beatitude. One of the things we see is that it's not just the one verse. There's these two verses that follow it that are directly related here, and we'll talk a lot more about this. But we also see that it's this heaviness of saying that we are blessed when we are persecuted. And this word persecution can mean many things, but here it's very specific of saying when you're persecuted because of righteousness, when you're persecuted for the cause of Jesus. And it made me think this weekend. I was reading about different types of persecution that happen today around the world, okay? And some of these things are really harsh. And as we'll look in a minute, we'll see that it's persecution is much bigger than just these types of things. But there are some really harsh things going on, and even in the news, like the headline news stories of today are of what's happening in Afghanistan right now. And circled inside of that is how that's a very harsh and dangerous place to be a Christian. And that's extremely heightened right now. Or as I was reading, I also was reading about Christians in North Korea. And it says for many years, North Korea has been classified as probably the most dangerous place to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's talking about how when Christians, when they're exposed, them with their whole families are sent to these prison camps, and very few ever come out alive of these camps. And the organization I was reading this from, they estimate that right now there are between 50,000 and 70,000 Christians in these camps in the nation of North Korea. And the conditions are brutal, okay? And we think of things like this, and we think of that there are people today around the world who will die because of the name of Jesus. Persecution is real. Persecution is harsh and heavy, okay? But the beautiful truth we see here in these verses is that as Christians, we can rejoice in the face of persecution. And so we'll see a few parts of that. But the first thing I want us to see is that the Beatitudes as a whole, as we're wrapping up the Beatitudes tonight, we see that the Beatitudes paint a picture of a righteous person. And it's important for us to understand, because this word righteous appears a couple times. We talked about it a few weeks ago in verse 6, where it's blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Tonight we have it because it's blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. And so as we think about this, we're also looking at this whole picture here in the Beatitudes. It's this picture of a righteous person. Because in Jesus, we become a new creation. And so this picture, it's not of what we can do and what we can be in our power or in our own goodness, but it's of because of the righteousness that we've taken on through the cross of Jesus Christ, we've been made a new creation, and this is what we look like. This is what the Christian looks like, and they're blessed through all these things, but the Christian is poor in spirit. The Christian is mourning and humble and merciful, and all of these things come through. And so as we think about this, we have to understand and remember this distinction that the words because of righteousness are important, okay? It doesn't say blessed are you when you make dumb decisions and suffer the consequences. It says blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness, okay? It's not the same as just facing consequences for choices we make. It's not the same as treating people like a jerk and them treating you that way back. But it's directly because of the cause of Jesus. And so let's remind ourselves about a little bit more of this picture of righteousness. We said we're made righteous by the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. And as we've been made righteous, we look different. We look like these Beatitudes, poor in spirit, mourn. We are humble. We hunger and thirst for righteousness. We're merciful, pure in heart. We're peacemakers. And we interpret verse 10 and 11 and 12 tonight using this picture, using this demonstration. And so let's clarify using a couple of examples. Okay, the first one, a person who is socially like ostracized or kind of put outcast or treated poorly or abused in some way because they've been verbally abusing their coworkers. That person's not being persecuted because of righteousness. On the other hand, a person who is insulted by others because they chose to invite a marginalized person to a social event is persecuted because of righteousness. The difference is what the action is. When it's an action that is in direct fellowship of our Lord Jesus, when we are doing as we've been told in Scripture, as we see the example of Jesus in the Bible, and we suffer insults, we suffer persecution of some form because of that, that's what the Scripture here talks about. Okay? It's directly related to the cause of Jesus. It's directly related to following Him. And the reality of it, the reality that we see in the language that Jesus uses here, is that persecution will come for the Christian. Okay? We probably won't face the types of things that I was just talking about in places like North Korea or Afghanistan or about a 10 or 20 other countries that we could talk about right now that are in that just really extreme danger. We probably won't face that. But Jesus makes it so clear here as he talks in verse 11. He says, you are blessed when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. He makes it very clear that he's not just talking about a threat to your life. He's not just talking about being thrown in prison. Okay? So as a Christian, we can believe that this is going to happen. But one important thing I want us to understand is that it doesn't mean we go running and looking for it, okay? Even Jesus, as he's preparing, he knows what's coming on the cross. He's praying to the Father in Matthew 26, verse 39. He says, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, okay? In the example of Jesus we see here, facing the persecution, facing the death he's about to bear, he's not saying, hey, this, you know, do everything for this. He's saying, hey, if it's at all possible, if there's any other way, Father, let's do that way. But he says, but not my will, but your will, okay? But so it's not something we go looking for. It's not something where we just start acting foolish and try to get ourselves into painful situations because of Christ. Okay? But as 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's going to happen. Okay? We know that the world we live in is a world that is broken in sin. It is a world that is shaped by that brokenness. And it's been true since sin entered the world in the Garden of Eden. It's true today. We don't have to struggle to find that. We don't have to like wonder, hey, I wonder if there's brokenness and bad and evil in the world. No, we see it all around us, right? And we experience that all around us. And so we understand that this is going to come. This is going to come. This is a mark of the Christian life. This is a mark of putting our life aside to say we're living solely devoted to the cause of Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we'll be mistreated by this world because our Savior was mistreated by this world. But we are not more righteous or better Christians if we face harsher persecution. Our desire is not to be the most glorified in our suffering. Our desire is to glorify Christ in all situations. And Jesus makes it clear that this will happen. Let's talk a little bit more here about these specific things that Jesus lists. He says we'll face insults. Okay? That can look a lot of ways. But I don't think any of you have to stretch your mind to remember a time someone's insulted you, okay? And we can think of this different ways. We know that sometimes it happens to our face, and most often not, it probably happens indirectly behind our back in some way, right? But we face insults. And we face insults for a lot of different reasons. But there are times where we face insults because we take a stand for the truth of Jesus. Or because we work up that courage to follow the Holy Spirit's leading and to talk to somebody about the truth of the gospel. We talk to that person, that coworker, or that neighbor, or that classmate, and we tell them about the hope that is in us because of Jesus, and we tell them about how they can experience that too. And their response to that is to shun, to insult us, to call us foolish, to call us silly for believing in something like that, or anything along those lines, right? That's insult because of righteousness. That's what Jesus is speaking of here. That can be in a lot of different situations. But Jesus here says that will be something we face. Another thing he says here is that they will falsely say every kind of evil against you. That will be slandered, that will be spoken evil of in ways that is not true. And I think this can be one of the hardest things for us to bear, right? We can probably a little bit more easily bear someone just like insulting us, someone talking down about us. But man, when someone starts to slander us and someone starts to go and to spread these tells about us that are evil and they're not true, man, our tendency is to want to say, oh, wait a minute, and defend ourselves and protect our reputation and to stand up for this. But we must remember, guys, we must remember that as a Christian, we are marked by the life of Jesus Christ, and that we see that Jesus bore this day in and day out, and we see that Jesus chose to take on the blessing of being slandered. Jesus chose to keep his focus on the Father, okay? And this can be so hard. We want to set it straight. We worry about how it will affect us with others, but we will face this. And this week, you might face this, where people are saying false things about you. And it's because of your faith in Jesus. It's because you live differently and that bothers someone. Or it's because you are always talking about this great Savior who has changed your life. And someone wants to tear that down. Someone wants to keep that message from being what people know you for and to change it to a lie. And some other things we can see from this. It's very likely that as we live our lives following Jesus, that there will be times where we might lose relationships. That might be a really, really hard relationship, like one with a family member, that we lose because we've devoted our life to Jesus. That might be a really close friendship. It might be a time where you've had to speak a hard truth to someone's life because you love them, and because of that, that relationship was severed, that you've experienced a loss in that. We can think of a lot of ways this plays out. We can think of a lot of ways that our life here on earth is short of what God created us to be. It's short of this perfect relationship and union with Him that He created us to have. But Jesus here says that we can be blessed in the persecution. And the reason the reason we can do this is because of the reward. He says it right there. For the kingdom of heaven is yours. The kingdom of heaven. Okay? When our eyes are set on Jesus, our eyes are set on the fact that this world isn't our home, but we have eternity with God in heaven as our reward. That is our home. And we can understand and see that the things we face here are only temporary, but that the reward is so sweet. And it's a reward that we see on both ends of the Beatitudes here. In verse 3, where it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," it says also, "For the kingdom of heaven is theirs." It's a reward that Jesus wants us to be mindful of and focused on and understand that this place we live, we call home right now, is not forever. The things we face, the things we endure here are all made worth it because of our home in heaven. That as Christians, we can rejoice in the face of persecution. And let's talk more about that part right there. Jesus here, he says, be glad and rejoice, okay? He doesn't just say grin and bear it. He doesn't say, you can make it through it, but it's going to be tough and you're not going to like it. He says, be glad and rejoice. And maybe up until this point, you've been in agreement. You're like, yep, as a Christian, I face these things. As a Christian, it's hard. And then right here, you get to this part where it's like, wait a minute. I much more enjoy to wallow and to kind of have this woe is me attitude and let everyone know about how I've been wronged and let everyone know about the hardships I'm facing and be kind of this suffering saint of sorts. But the reality, the truth here is that Jesus says we are to be glad and rejoice. Now, I can think of this. I can think of times where I've been wronged and how I wanted to react in that, right? And you can probably think of times you've been wronged that are still pretty fresh, and there's still some pain and some hurt with that, okay? But to lighten the mood, I'll go way back, okay? I remember when I was probably like a third grader or something. And we're outside in our front yard playing. Is me, my brother's a couple years older than me, and like our friend that lived a couple houses down the street. And I can't remember what he did, but I'm sure it was something purely evil and just terrible that this neighbor kid did to me, okay? I'm sure it was the worst thing you could ever imagine. And because of this, I called him some random name that a third grader boy calls other boys. I can't remember the exact one. It doesn't matter. But whatever it was, it happened at a time that my dad walked around the corner of the garage. And my dad proceeded to say that I had to go sit in my room because of the name I just called the neighbor friend. okay? The neighbor friend was way worse to me than I was to him, all right? This was total injustice, okay? I had been totally wronged. So what I did is when I got into my room, my window was on the front side of the house. So I just proceeded. I had to get a sheet of paper and marker and just writing notes of all the other names that I could call this guy and putting those in the window, okay? Because I wanted it to be known how wronged I had been. And like I said, that's one we can laugh at. But we can think of in our life how many times when we've been wronged, instead of rejoicing, instead of being glad when we've been wronged because of our faith in Christ, that we want to set the record straight, that we want people to know the truth, that we want this to be our pursuit here. But Jesus gives us this gift here when he says, be glad and rejoice. He's saying, we looked at this passage several weeks ago, but he's saying like he does in Matthew 11, where he says, hey, come to me, you who are burdened, you're heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you, for it's easy. My burden is light. Jesus is saying, hey, you don't have to fix all the wrongs. You don't have to make all this right. I have done that. I have taken on the penalty of sin. I have made it possible for you to be restored into relationship with God. I have given you my righteousness. And because of all this, when you're wronged for it, just be glad and rejoice. You don't have to carry this weight. The Christian life that we see throughout the Beatitudes here, it keeps using this word blessed. And it uses this word blessed in front of things that sometimes we don't think of as the most joyful things. But it's saying this because this Christian life is a life full of joy and blessing because of who we were and who we've been made into. Because we were dead in our sin, we were slaves to sin, we were unrighteous before a holy God. But God sent Jesus to live without sin so that he could take on the penalty for all of our sins. So that when we trust in the name of Jesus, that our sins may be forgiven. And when we think upon that, we think upon that truth and that gift, we can rejoice no matter what is happening around us. Okay? We can rejoice and have joy, be filled with joy because of this incredible gift that we've been given. And when we receive a gift, I think we could all understand that there's times where we receive a gift and it just means more than other gifts, right? It's a gift where it's just something that was totally thoughtful and sacrificial of the other person, and it's just something we never would have expected, and it stands out, right? And when we think about the gift of Jesus, it's that but magnified times an infinity, right? That it is something we can never even totally comprehend how great this gift is. And we think on that, how can we be sorrowful? How can we be just focused on the ways we've been wronged, focus on the ways we've been mistreated when we have that? There's joy. Doesn't mean it's not hard. Doesn't mean there won't be pain and hardship, but it's full of joy. I thought of this week, this idea of God the Father sending Jesus that we may be restored into relationship with him, that we may live a life that is full of joy, is something I thought about quite a bit this week. As we got to get away for a few days as a family and go down to Southern California, and we got to spend a day at Disneyland and a day at the beach, and it was just a really sweet time. And one of the most fun things for me in that time was when we were walking into lines at some of these rides. And some of these rides that Sadie, our big, strong 8-year-old here, hadn't ridden some of those types of rides before. And so she's a little nervous. And one of my favorite things, when she'd be like, Daddy, can I ride with you on this one? I promise you the answer is always yes to that, okay? And the joy that I got to see on her face and on Ellie's face and that brought to me, okay? I think of one of the rides, the Big Thunder Mountain, little roller coaster. And we're riding on that. Sadie and I are sitting together. We're at the back. And we get around like the second turn, and she wants to ride with me because I put my arm over so she can hold on to it. That's the real reason. It's all because she can hold tight, okay? I look over, and no, she's got a hand up in the air, and then like two turns later, both hands are up. And my favorite part is she kept saying, woohoo, this is so fun, over and over, over and over. That joy, right? We love to see joy in the hearts of those we love, right? We love to see that expressed. And so much more does God love to see his joy overflowing out of us. That we can rejoice, we can be glad. Don't misconstrue this. We're not being glad because something bad's happened to us. We're being glad because of the gift of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which means that it doesn't matter what else happens to us because our focus is in the gospel. We're not glad and wishing for Christians to die today because of Jesus. But those Christians can be glad and they can rejoice because of where their focus is, because of where their hope is. And as a believer in the Lord Jesus, my hope is sure not in this world, but it's in this eternal reward in heaven. And as Christians, we rejoice in the face of persecution. We can celebrate continually with gladness in our hearts because of Jesus. And another thing that we do is that we follow Jesus and we follow the example of those who have gone before us. They give us the path here. They show us the direction and how we live this out, okay? This summer, it's been such a blessing to spend this time in the Beatitudes. And I hope and pray that you've been blessed through it as well. But through it, we see that the call of the Christian life is simply to follow Jesus. We can overcomplicate it oftentimes. But in the simplest part of it here, it's that it's a call to follow the one who has endured far greater pain, insults, and persecution than we'll ever endure. Yet he was glad and rejoicing. Yet we know that as John 16:33 says that Jesus has overcome the world, here's what that says. It says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered this world. So it really helps when we're like reading a story, when we're playing a game or whatever else, watching a movie. It can really help. It might ruin your enjoyment of certain parts. I don't know. But it can help us to face the hard parts if we already know the end. Okay? If we're reading this story and we see this, our favorite character is facing really hard things. And we think, oh man, will they live through this? But we've read the story before and we know that in the end, all is well. Okay? Then we don't have that same angst as we hear about their story. As Christians, we know the end. We know the end. We know that Jesus has already conquered the world. And so when we face the hard parts, it still sets uneasy. It's still hard, but we know the end. We know that in the end, we are in heaven with God. We know that in the end, this world and the hardships of it are very temporary in the eyes of eternity. And the Bible is full of stories of people who endured great suffering to follow Jesus with their eyes set on the goal, with their eyes set on the heavenly reward. We think of the apostles. We think of the people who were around Jesus, who were spending great deals of time with him. We think of the early apostles who wrote many of the books in the New Testament here. And here's just a brief description of how most of them lived or ended their lives here on earth. Peter, he was crucified. Paul, he was beheaded. Andrew, crucified. Thomas, most likely, was speared to death. Philip, some form of cruel execution. Matthew, we don't know for sure. Bartholomew, martyred, killed in some way. James was stoned and then clubbed to death. Simon the Zealot, martyred in some manner. Matthias, most likely burned to death. And John, we think he died a natural death. There's one of those mixed in there, okay? Yet these are men who we read their words, we see the testimony of their lives. We see how so many ways that God works through that. But they met the harshest endings. They met the harshest deaths because of Jesus. And as we said earlier, we're probably not going to face that kind of death. We're probably not going to be executed because we call on the name of Jesus. It could happen, but it probably won't. But as the apostles before us, as Jesus who's gone before us, we can be glad. We can rejoice because our reward is in heaven. And what a great focus that is. What a great daily reminder that is. Man, I know for sure this week we will face things we wish we didn't have to face. This week we will face just hard things. And some of those are just part of living in this broken world. Some of those are things that happen because that we have chosen to live our life as a follower of Jesus. And those are the types of persecution that Jesus speaks of here. They're because of Jesus. And in those times, take on the joy that's been given to you. Let your focus be on Him. Let your delight be in the things of God. As Alyssa comes, we're going to wrap up here tonight. And we're going to wrap up this time that we spent in the Beatitudes all summer. And as we do that, I hope that you're encouraged. I am encouraged. For me, this time has been such a blessing of seeing the great blessings that Jesus has given to us, even in dire situations, even in hard circumstances, that we're blessed because of the hope we have. And tonight, if that hope is something that you have not yet experienced, that you have not yet taken on and received this exquisite gift of salvation, of the forgiveness of your sins, then know that that is available to you. Anyone who calls on the name of Jesus and asks Him to forgive you of your sins, and you place trust in Him to do that. That hope, that salvation is available. And whether you're sitting here in this room, whether you're watching online live, whether you're watching at a later date, know that wherever you are, you can call out to Jesus and He will save you. He will give you this new life. He will give you this new hope and this new perspective and mindset that you can have joy in all circumstances because you have a new reward. You have a new focus. You have been made a new creation. For all of us as that are believers that have trusted in the Lord Jesus, Lord, we rejoice together at the name of the Lord. We rejoice at what we've been given and who we have been made. And the hard things will come. The persecution will come. But to know that through those things, the gospel goes forward. That through those things, His truth can be proclaimed. His witness may know. Let's pray together. Our gracious Lord, we thank You for the time that we can be in Your Word tonight. Lord, I pray for the Christians right now who are in those places that we talked about earlier. Christians who are in countries where they face a desperate risk, a dangerous risk to their lives because they choose to worship Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'll protect them. I pray that you will spare their lives so that they can continue to share your gospel and to proclaim your truth. But Lord, above all else, I pray that you will put their focus and their joy in you. Lord, that your gospel will go forward in these harsh, dangerous locations, even through the killings of Christians, that even through that, you will save people. You will show people your hope and your truth. Lord, I pray that right here in Salt Lake Valley of Utah, Lord, that as Christians, we will know the hope that we have because of you, and that we will place our total focus on that, that we will be energized and full of joy because of you, because of what you've done. Lord, I pray for any of our friends gathered here or hearing this message later. Lord, I pray that they know you as Lord, and that any of us who do not know you, Lord, any of us who have yet to place faith in you to forgive us of our sins, Lord, that you will show us the need for that. And Lord, that those friends of ours will call upon you to save them. Lord, we love you, and we want to give you all praise and glory and honor tonight. We want you to be lifted high. And Lord, as we sing one more song here tonight, Lord, we sing it as a chance to rejoice in what you have done for us. And as we leave this building tonight, we leave as an opportunity to rejoice and to be glad in who you are and what you've done. And that happens in all circumstances. We love you, Lord.